The top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show, sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Yeah, if you say so. Top five most important, most newsworthy, or just dumbest things we find on audio in any given 24-hour period. So we start at
number five.
Now, remember Jim Baker? He was a televangelist back in the 1980s. Ended up going to jail. Convicted on 24 counts of fraud and conspiracy. He had all kinds of problems. But he was building mansions and stuff with all of his parishioners' money. He had an air-conditioned doghouse for his dogs. He also might have had a girlfriend or two. And he had Tammy Faye, his wife, who, when he went off to prison, would, you know, kept the ministry going, who would sit and cry on television, and you'd watch her mascara run about, you know, these are the anti-God forces trying to silence her husband. It was just one of those things where you stop and you wonder, who in the hell would fall for this? I felt so badly that people would be so needy or lost or lonely or whatever it was that a guy who was such an obvious huckster could take them. And he did. For years and years and years and years. Well, now he's back. He's back on television. He's been back on television for a while. And he came out of jail it's got to be 25 years ago, at least now. But he has a woman who he claims is a doctor who has a product that can kill or deactivate the coronavirus. Dr. Cheryl Selman. She was on to tout her silver solution for the low, low price of $80 or $125 for the one that really works. Selman's doctoral specialty listed as an ND for naturopathic doctor. Is that a thing? I don't think that's a thing. Which means that she does not really have any kind of license.
God gave us this product, yes. I believe. Yes. We have it in cases. We use it all the time. I mean, I don't think I'd have made it without silver. This is amazing.
You never want to be without silver. It has been proven by the government that it has the ability to kill every pathogen it has ever been tested on, including SARS and HIV.
This influenza that is now circling the globe, you're saying that silver solution would be effective.
Well, let's say it hasn't been tested on this strain of the coronavirus.
Yeah, let's say that.
But it's been tested on other strains of the coronavirus and has been able to eliminate it within 12 hours.
Well, now you have me feeling like a dummy, Roy. I bought $1,000 worth of this stuff over the weekend. They sold me.
I want to know why God is not smoting here.
No, this reminds me of the old school way of travelers with their little carts, and they'd have their little vials. They'd be like, put this on your head 3 times a day, and your hair will grow back, sir.
Snake oil salesman. Yes, it's exactly what it is. It's exactly what it is. Where is the Old Testament God when you need him?
Hope they accept returns. Feeling like
I don't think they do. I think all sales are final here from Dr. Selman.
It's a tough look for me.
Oh my God. I mean, literally. It's amazing, man. It's amazing that he gets away with it. He just continues to do it. And there are still people, unfortunately, who don't get that they're being completely lied to.
Cheryl Selman sounded like a trustworthy name to me, Rose, so that was a big selling point.
Selman, my God, she sold me something. Why? That's one of them names.
Especially with Cheryl, Cherrill.
Cheryl.
What?
Cheryl Selman. She sure will sell you. Oh, my gosh. Isn't there some government agency that should be looking into this? Or are they afraid to do it right down in election year? All right, let's check in with Lauren Lapko, what's happening in the traffic in the skies?
When it comes to the weather, we all want to know, what did Skilling say? Watch for updated forecasts from Chicago's most trusted meteorologist, Tom Skilling, weeknights on WGN-TV. Going to need him tonight.
Yes. Coming up after the news at the bottom of the hour, we're going to be joined by Linda Lavelle again. Now, Linda Lavelle, we talked to her last Thursday. She was one of the passengers on the Princess Diamond cruise ship that was docked in Japan, quarantined. They were taking people off the ship every day in ambulances because of the coronavirus. And now she has been, over the weekend, she was flown out. This is a harrowing story how they did this too. They were taken off the ship. She and her husband were taken off the ship and with a number of other Americans and flown back to the United States. She's now in quarantine in Texas at a military base. We'll talk to her about what that experience was like. Her story about being on the Princess Diamond was just amazing. That was crazy enough. But this is really something, this story that you're about to hear, coming up after the news at the bottom of the hour. All right, we're in the top five of five. We worked our way up
to number four.
Jussie Smollett's alleged accomplices, the Osandero brothers, ended up getting confronted by TMZ, of all places, here in Chicago. They're just walking around. I'll say, oh, look, here's TMZ. What do they think about Jussie Smollett now?
Do you guys feel any sympathy or do you feel bad at him for him at all?
We're actually praying for Jussie. We're praying that he builds up the courage to finally tell the truth.
Do you have any, what's your biggest regret?
Honestly, we just feel it takes away the attention from actual real situations that happen.
Well,
right now, we're just focused on the positive.
Are you going to be testifying to the trial?
If they call us to, we'll do what needs to be done.
Oh, boy. We'll do what needs to be done. I think that's what they probably said to Jussie, too, right? Oh, if you need it, yeah, listen. Seems like a wacky plan, but if you need us to do it, we'll do what needs to be done.
Couple of team players.
That's what they are. It does appear that these mopes are not really ill-intended.
Whatever you need, coach, put me in the game.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like that they were part of like some sort of grandiose conspiracy against the people of the United States of America. They were like, oh, Jussie Smollett needs us to help him, you know, because he's got problems with his producers in Hollywood, and he wants to prove the fact that you know, it's dangerous here in Chicago, so we're just going to go along with it. These two dudes are from Chicago. A lot of people are thinking that they're like West African guys that, you know, are flown in by Jussie Smollett for this. They're born and raised in Chicago. They are of Nigerian descent, and they have family back there, and they did immediately go there right after the fake news incident. But I don't know. I don't quite understand exactly what Jussie Smollett was thinking. I think nobody does. But I'm far less interested in what Jussie Smollett was doing, and far more interested in what our public officials here were doing, specifically the Cook County State's Attorney, in terms of just letting this go the way it went. And I know it is a low-level crime. I get all that. And yes, there's carjackings and shootings, and there was a guy shot literally. It was on both the red and blue line simultaneously today. There's a lot of crime. There's a serious problem here. But that is the bottom of the iceberg. The tip of the iceberg was this. Because this, in and of itself, it just seems like the level of way that people who are doing the wrong thing are being let off the hook in the county of Cook is really disconcerting. I didn't even intend that to rhyme. Okay. Checking in at
number three.
Several Chicago aldermen are calling for changes to the city laws after a horse was found dead in Englewood. Police and animal care control found two horses in a yard at 61st and Carpenter. After receiving multiple calls requesting well-being checks on the animals, one of the horses was dead when officials arrived. The Alderman Ray Lopez, not the alderman from that ward, but Alderman Ray Lopez, posted photos of the horse on his Facebook and Twitter accounts. He claims the horses had no food or water or shelter, were covered with feces. The alderman claims the city received complaints going back to the summer
Our law is so vague with regards to what people can own, and now as we see the prevalence of urban farming and people trying to be more holistic with, you know, growing their own foods, you know, we're seeing a surge in new animals coming into an urban environment.
Are we? I mean, I know we're, okay, we saw the goats. We talked to the goat guy from Austin, the neighborhood on the west side, and he's got people that come over and want to, you know, be with his goats, but he's raising goats for goat yoga. And because it's, you know, for literally, I mean, who's doing goat yoga? Goofy white people, right? I mean, that really is the issue. So I suppose if you're raising animals for goofy white people, it's okay. if you're raising, I don't know what this dude was doing with the horses, and I love horses, and I don't want to see bad things happen to horses. And horses are incredibly sturdy and incredibly delicate all at the same time. So you have to know what you're doing. And it does not appear that this guy knew what he was doing. And I don't know, if there's two horses just standing in a lot in a neighborhood, don't you want to just call somebody about it? Right? I mean, all of a sudden, if Mr. Ed and Trigger are standing there, I mean, aren't you like, hey, what, don't, I mean, what do you do? At least 311, because I don't know what they do at 311. So I figure that if they do something at 311, it's probably this, that call them if you see a horse standing in somebody's side yard. Here is the owner, Leo Beltran, says that he was just trying to care for sick animals.
What other people are saying and making up stories, they don't know, you know, my life, how it is. I love animals. I love horses. I'm not doing it to have a farm in the city. I just did it to take care of an animal. That's the only reason I did it for. And like I said, to come to a point where they're saying that my dog is eating a horse, it's just outrageous.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I'm glad he brought that up because, yes, that's what they were saying. One of the calls to 911 was the dog was eating the horse. Now, it's believable, right? Because, you know, horse has been a component in dog food. But it's also just as likely as the horse is going up and sniffing the horse and, you know, trying to nudge the horse and stuff like that. Because that's what dogs do. When something, you know, I mean, when the owner likes something, I'm assuming he likes the horses. And with all due respect to Mr. Beltran, what was he thinking? Was he going to settle the horse? Was he going to ride it to work? Is this going to be maybe I'm afraid the city council might even consider this instead of the scooters. Maybe horses. Do we ever think about that? Like a special horse lane in Chicago? You know, there will be some goof who wants to suggest this before it's all said and done. Because it'll be better for the environment or some such thing. All right, checking in at
number two.
Delta Airlines CEO Ed Bastian has added a bit of fuel to the great seat recline debate. Fired up on Twitter, he was on CNBC's Squawk Box to announce Delta's plans to go carbon neutral. That's good news. Maybe you should think about horses, too. Maybe horses on a treadmill helping fly the planes. He was pressed to comment on the Reclinegate after that viral thing last week where an American Airlines passenger reclined her seat to have a man sitting behind her just punch the back of the seat over and over and over again.
What's the etiquette, though? I want to know what the etiquette is. If you're a tall guy, Ed, you are a tall guy. You are in coach.
I am.
And somebody's in front of you and they want to go all the way back. They paid for the ticket.
I think customers have the right to recline, but I think the proper thing to do is if you're going to recline into somebody that you ask if it's okay first, and then you do it. But
you have
at
to
the
ask.
Same time, I think it's
every customer.
Well,
that's interesting. You think you?
I never say anything myself, though. I think if someone knows there's a tall person behind them and they want to recline their seat, I think the polite thing would be to make certain it was okay. I never recline because I don't. I don't think it's something that, since I'm the CEO of the airline, I should be reclining my seat. And I never say anything if someone reclines into me.
Yeah, how many times do you think that guy really flies on coach? Let's be honest. Right? I mean, don't you think he's taking a private jet everywhere? And then every once in a while he shows up on coach on the 45-minute flight
some sort of marketing maneuver. They film the whole thing. They throw it up on the website.
We're just like you.
We're just like you. Right. Once, like, a couple, every quarter.
Oh, I'm going from Atlanta to Mobile, Alabama. Okay. 45 minutes. I'm good.
And 20-minute delays and lost my bag. Just like you, I swear. Totally.
I saw this happen last night on a plane where there was a request. I thought that was pretty cool. And I didn't. I had no idea that was. I stopped reclining a long time ago, I just don't want to have a conversation. I don't want to have a conversation with anybody on an airplane. I want to actually pull down the oxygen mask and put it over my head. Just say I can't talk right now. I'm breathing oxygen.
Just get one of the medical masks. Nobody will talk to you.
That's why I told you earlier on the program. I mentioned when I was flying out on Friday, there was a guy sitting next to me in one of those medical masks. I don't like that either. I'm gonna dress like Brad Pitt in Ad Astra when I get on the plane. I'm just going to be in a spacesuit and sit there. It's going to be uncomfortable. All air conditioned. I don't know. Whatever it is. But I won't recline. I'm afraid now to recline. And then people recline into me. And then I get all mad about that. But they're generally... I had a guy who looked like Bernie Sanders recline into me last night. And I was like, what do I do about this? Like an old man, you know, it's like, what am I going to do? Like, you know, all right, you can't do that, sir. But it was like, whatever. You just got to put up with it. All right. And finally, I've been looking forward to this.
Number one.
All right. Billie Eilish is having quite a year, right? She swept the Grammys. She's 18 years old, youngest person ever to win Album of the Year at the Grammys. And now she is going to be the voice of the new Bond film.
That I've fallen for a lie. You were never on my side. Fool me once, fool me twice. Are you death or paradise? Now you'll never see me cry. There's just no time to die.
No. I don't know. I think when you put it with, you know, those Bond opening theme graphics and that, you know, the montage that they do is always super cool. Right? But I don't know. And I love Billie. I love that. I bought that album right after the Grammys. It's great.
She's having a good run.
She is having a good run. And it is haunting, right? So you got that going for
you. I think it works.
All right. Well, there you have it. That's the theme to No Time to Die, the new James Bond film coming out in April. All right, we're going to close up the top 5-5. Then on the other side of Jen DeSalvo's news, we're going to talk to a woman we talked to last week who was stranded on a cruise ship on the Diamond Princess in Japan, and now she is off that but is quarantined at a military base in Texas. The harrowing story of how she got there coming up after the news. But first, we close the top 5-5.
The top 5 at 5.